Hi, everyone. Welcome to the third installment of our mini podcast series about impacting demand for infant immunization. You probably remember me from previous series. I'm Marcus, part of the Global Health team. And I have with me today Belle.
Hi.
And Sunny as well.
Hello.
The last one we were talking about, well, having the mother as a center of the conversation, campaigns and actions being a mistake or something we have done wrong in the past. And we have to broaden the scope on that angle. And today we are going to talk more about the beliefs and how the vaccination itself fits with the community norms and hopes. And I'm going to ask you first, Belle, what is the community social context to this discussion?
Good question. I think summarizing all of the information that we've gathered and the findings, I think it's a lot to do with identity. I think that's the underlying theme. You know, to what extent does completing immunization align with different people's identity? And then you go into, okay, what is my identity? What is it made up of? And there are different value areas, I think, that feed into our identity. And what we found that some of the key themes that were coming out in the countries that we did the research in were religion, right? Strongly coming out. Traditions, community and family traditions, the people that we tend to hold on to as people. And then what are the prominent aims and markers of success in different communities, those kind of areas. So with the religion and faith area, I think, you know, it comes out very top of mind and people talk about it and, you know, qualitative or even quantitatively, you know, we had in Nigeria, 79% of people saying that they strongly agree that God is the only protection needed from harm. And this went up to 93% in Guinea. So that's 93%. I mean, you know, we're market researchers. These are incredibly high numbers. So some might say, you know, religion's a big factor and it could be a barrier, but we found that actually it's not. When we look at those who are caregivers of children who are zero dose or under immunized or fully immunized, there wasn't much difference with these kind of statements, actually. It was just high across the board. So I guess what that shows us is that religion is important and it can't be ignored, but we shouldn't assume that it's actually a barrier to immunization, right? And then the tradition aspect, you know, traditions are important for fitting in. We all have traditions. You know, we look at other communities and saying, oh, this is an interesting tradition, but we all have traditions, whether it's family or societal, you know, community traditions. They're important for fitting in, for feeling like you belong, but also from protection. You know, the view was that we do some of these traditions to protect, you know, socially, but also physically from, you know, illnesses and to protect to give us good health. So, for example, things like naming ceremonies and taking certain herbs and even male circumcision, they're seen to be things that help to protect the child from illnesses or from ill will. And they're seen as being tried and tested. You know, you can come with any scientific data that you want to present, but these are tried and tested because all of these people around me have done it and they're fine. The people before us did it, the people before them did it, and we're all fine and we're healthy and we're strong. So I trust that. And so that's why the tradition aspect is really strong. I think one of the things that came out here was about traditional medicine. And we had, you know, over a third of those in Nigeria saying that traditional medicine is more effective than Western medicine. So it's a 1 in 3 caregivers, you know, mothers saying that. So it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. It was slightly lower in the other markets, maybe like 1 in 5 of them in Uganda and Guinea. What was also interesting is like over half of the mothers were saying that in all of the countries were saying that there are other ways to protect their child from disease than vaccination. So that helps to give us again some other context. you know, sometimes you can hear that the discourse around people not vaccinating their child or not completing immunization can be, you know, kind of dismissive, like they just don't know, they don't care enough about their child. How can we make people care more about the health of their child? And it's like, they definitely care. They just have other protection mechanisms that they see work really well. Why would I try this new one? Which can have some other effects, which I'm sure we'll talk on later. So that tradition aspect is really strong as well, I would say.
So my key takeaways from this what statements you were mentioning, Belle, is actually in terms of tradition, vaccination and religion both can live together. We shouldn't create or make any artificial barrier, which doesn't exist. So we should be aware of that. And also related to your second point about tradition related to, for example, herbal medicine, you were saying that there are other ways of protecting my child, right? So vaccination is not the only way, it's one of the options, right? I think we could take those two as good learnings.
Yeah, that all sounds really interesting, because it's not that parents universally have the same hopes and dreams for their children, that they grow up to be healthy and have a brighter future than what they've come into the world with. And I guess if we look at vaccination through that lens, that, well, if it's come into a community in relatively not that long ago, without actually being given any meaning to what the local context aspirations are, then why would people change the traditions from centuries to go in and take something just because it's positioned that this will benefit your child? I think it's really important to gain an understanding, whichever country you're going into work in, that you understand what the priorities are for the communities that exist there. I know I mentioned in the last podcast that we went to three countries that have distinctly different cultures, even within them, let alone compared to each other. And what really stood out for me is in Nigeria, it seems to be a very aspirational society where people strive to be successful. And by what they mean by being successful is growing in social stature and having more financial means and being able to purchase more and those types of things, which is quite in contrast to Guinea, where people were prioritizing being able to keep the harmony, being able to be seen to be pious and to play their roles within their family and social structures and within their communities. A lot more types of religious norms were prevalent in the society, and also some of the patriarchal norms as well. But that people were adhering and going along with these different ways of being able to perform and to act within communities to guarantee a measure of safety and security from each other. So it's part of what we call the social contract. If you play by the norms of your society, then people will look after you. And that came out really strongly in Guinea. Whereas in Uganda, a lot of the focus we saw was from people wanting to continue to meet their basic needs. All members of the family were being seen to want to contribute to the income of that family, which came out quite strongly. And the reason why we wanted to bring these up is that there are distinct cultural differences that if you're wanting to give meanings to vaccines, by starting with an understanding of how that community structure works, you've got a better chance of being able to position these new different types of interventions, such as vaccines, in a way that's likely to gain traction and uptake.
That's a very good reflection, Sunny, and thanks for making differentiations between the countries, right? Because as we were saying in previous series, that obviously we found similarities, but it's very important to note these different elements from the different communities, right? And I think that's where the blended approach and methodology we had for this program was great for the design and the result we got from it, because having, well, the power of the ethnography footage at this point was incredibly helpful for us to understand and fed into the qualitative research we continued, and also with the quantitative, right? So I think that was great, and having these elements really helped us to understand the communities. And just a final consideration for the audience is basically a question that we want to leave is that obviously we wanted to make the point of to what extent does fully immunizing my child help or actually hinder my social priorities? These priorities need to be considered when planning implementation and interventions, right? It's this first element we have been talking about today. And the second will be practicalities, which will be covered on the next series. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.